direct from Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for The Superiority Complex. Where have we been all your life?
Welcome to the show, everybody. You might notice a difference in sound quality. I'm actually using a new piece of equipment. It's the Roland R05 Wave MP3 recorder. It's a really neat little piece of machinery, and it's going to replace... I'm going to see, this is a test run to see if it can replace my setup that I have now with mics and mixing boards and all that. And it's a big setup. And this I can actually just... There's my dog. He decided to make the quietest entrance possible. Hi, Ricky. I have notes here. Do not say ah. I've noticed that I've been talking and I say a lot of ums and ahs. I am trying to cut down on that. But what will probably happen is instead of ums and ahs, it'll just be dead air. So that's awesome. What I want to do, though, is I want to try to use this little recorder to replace my initial setup. And it's great for doing remotes. I'm actually going to post something a little later on that has a remote I did last night with a friend of mine from work. And it sounds really great. I'll post that a little bit later. We did a little 5-minute thing on zombies. So I will be posting that after I post this show. But I do have a special guest today. I want to get to her right away. So let me just do a really quick run through. I just have one bit of geek news. And I'll go ahead and drop that noise in there. Have you heard the geek news noise? It's pretty awesome. You're probably going to hear it right now. All right, geek news, everybody. George Lucas has let it spill that Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher are all on board for the new Star Wars sequels, Episode 7 at least. And I can really hear my dog. What is he doing? Okay, so my apologies. The dog apparently hates Star Wars. So he's the only one in the house that does. Okay, my wife does too. And my daughter's not so hot on it. Okay, I'm basically saying I'm the only Star Wars fan in the house. But that's okay. You know why? Because we've got George Lucas confirming that Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher are all on board, like I just said. So what does this mean to you, Star Wars fans? Are you guys excited? How do you feel about Episode 7? I want to hear from you. You can email me at SuperiorComplexShow@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at Soup, S-O-U-P, Complex, and let me know what you think about that little bit of geek news. All right, without further ado, we have a guest here. I'm very excited. You are my first, let's see, how can I put this? My first official guest was my best friend. My unofficial guest is always the DJ Sadness. But you are the second official guest on the podcast. How does that feel, Nina Thomas? Everybody,
hello, everybody.
You sound great.
I don't know.
You don't like the way it sounds.
I've been working on my radio voice.
It sounds good. You know what? You have that. You do have a nice. I don't know what's the cadence. You have a nice cadence. I think it's that.
I have no idea what that means.
I think it's because you're from the subcontinent.
Oh, okay.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, we're taking it there.
We're taking it there. We're calling it there. Right away. I like to let people know the ethnicity of our guests so they don't have to spend a lot of time trying to paint a mental picture. Stereotypes.
I told you, you should just put some Indian music as you introduce me, like I just stepped off the plane.
Yeah. Well,
fresh off the boat.
See, I think that stereotyping saves time. So if people know that you're from the subcontinent, and I'm calling it the subcontinent, I'm not going to name any, I'm just going to call it the subcontinent. Do they still call it that?
You know.
So what you're saying is I need the sitar music from like the heroin phase of the Beatles?
Yes.
Then after everyone, you know, falls asleep because it's Beatles, they'll wake up and know that you're Indian.
You can't see this, but I'm charming a snake right now.
Oh, is that? Yeah. That's pretty good. Actually, she is. Look at it. You know what's really funny? I think I've told you that like one of my best friends is Indian, and so we met. He had the unfortunate luck of meeting us in the seventh grade, which is the summer that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom came out. So after we saw that, we were just, do you really eat monkey brains? Do you really eat snakes? And he's like, I'm Hindu. I'm vegetarian. It was awesome. But he's still my friend in spite of that. So. Yeah. See, it says
That's that one Indian guy you always talk about.
The one.
And then you keep asking me if I know him.
If you know him. Yeah, of course. It's like my cousin's your gardener. So it all works out.
Yeah, it does. You know, there's only like billions of Indians, so.
It's over 1 billion, right?
Yeah.
You guys are really going to go toe-to-toe with the Chinese.
You know, they better watch out. I'm telling you.
Who do you think would win?
Are you kidding?
No, who do you think would win?
Indians, for sure.
You think so?
Yeah. We will outpopulate them and take over all of their call centers.
Here's the only problem you have with fighting the Chinese is that the Indians, they're kind of like the Democrats. There's a lot of them. And they're all on different. You've got your Hindus, you've got your Sikhs, you've got your Christians, you've got your Muslims. Okay? And Chinese, they're like the Republicans. They're all lockstep. One mind, one body. They just get it done. They're like the Borg.
But, you know, all the Indians are going to get together and we're going to make this giant transformer and just take them all out. I'm not even kidding. Why are you laughing?
What would you call the Indian transformer? Like, what would it be called?
Babu?
All right, I'm writing that down. Is that B-A-B-U?
Yes, Babu the Transformer.
What does that mean? What does Babu mean?
It means one of great transformation.
That is awesome. I'm afraid my pen, like, this is really picking everything up, so I've got to keep my hands and, like, not slip. I might have the levels too high. I don't know. I sound good, though. How do you sound? You can hear my dog sniffing around.
I guess it's okay.
You don't like the sound of your own voice?
No.
Here's why I should be afraid of Nina, everybody. She's wearing a Raiders hat.
Ooh.
Are you a Raiders fan, Nina?
Yeah, out of respect, I didn't wear my Angels hat.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah.
You know you're not white, right? Yeah. You know you're not like...
I do know.
You know you're not the 25-year-old kinesiology major at Cal State Fullerton, right?
Do you have a 25-year-old?
Well, that's your your basic demo for
No, yeah, I was born into a Raiders fan, so don't a family, so don't.
I don't want to get stabbed.
Yeah,
that's.
I was told if I was unfaithful to the Raiders, that I would get shanked.
See, I don't understand how you can be a Raiders fan and yet not be a Dodgers fan because the fan base is like exactly the same.
I know.
It's the same kind of, you know. I have a brother who's a Raiders fan, and I have another brother who's a Rams fan, so that I root for the Steelers just to annoy them both simultaneously.
I root for sportsmanship. Like, oh, yeah. I think we should just give everyone a baseball, and then they won't fight over the one, you know?
So what you're saying is, what I'm taking this to mean is, you think everybody should be on steroids if you're all for it. Not just a few.
No. I just take steroids just because, you know, you never know.
Well, that mustache looks good on you, too. Yeah. So let's see. this leads me to something really awesome because you just said you take steroids, even though I know you don't. Now, you have recently you've gone crazy. You and my wife have both gone crazy.
Insane.
In the membrane. For the fitness.
Yes.
Which, as you can tell, I'm allergic to. But... You were talking to my wife earlier about doing the Tough Mudder.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who have never done the Tough Mudder, tell us what that's like. Because I'm never going to do it. I'm going to live vicariously through you.
I've already signed you up.
Awesome.
Our team is down with the brown. No, the Tough Mudder, it's probably one of the most difficult races that I've done. Or actually, no, it was the most difficult race that I've ever done. But it was 12 miles. I did this up in Big Bear, so it was 7,000 feet in elevation. And it was 12 miles, something like 24 obstacles. And you run through fire, you swim through ice, you get electrocuted a couple times. you're using a lot of upper body. They have like these monkey bars that are greased and they rotate. So you grab onto one and you'll fall straight into the water if you can't hang out.
See, it's basically a Japanese game show.
It is what you're doing. It is. But
that's crazy.
Yeah. It was
how long did it take you to finish the
took race? Me like 5 hours.
And what was the hardest, I didn't mean to interrupt, but oh, what no. was the hardest obstacle?
I think not that it was the hardest. There was a lot of fearful obstacles, like jumping off a platform into the lake that was, I don't even know how many hundreds of feet it was. And not that I can't swim, but I'm like, you know, looking down at this water, and the moment, and of course I took the breath at the wrong moment, so I ended up swallowing a bunch of water when I hit the water, and started to drown a little bit, and they, thank goodness they had like lifeguards there. But I think one of the most difficult obstacles for me was, before you even start the race, there's a wall that you have to climb over to get to the start line, so that already tells you where this is going. And then you climb up the steepest hill that you've ever climbed up, and then when you get down to the bottom, there's this tub of ice, and you basically, and there's a wall in the middle of the tub, so you have to climb in and submerge yourself completely under to come up the other side. And this is the beginning of the race. This is setting the tone for the whole
race. So you haven't even started yet. No. This is just like the icebreaker. Yeah, literally.
Yeah, literally. And I climb in, and as I'm climbing in, I trip and fall in. So I swallow all this brown, dirty, muddy ice water. And
oh, man.
My body goes into complete shock and starts shutting down. And my team is screaming at me, go under the wall, go under the wall. And so I go under the wall and I come back up and I can't move. Like, I'm completely stuck. And this is like 10 minutes into the race, you know? And so one of the guys climbs in and he pulls me out. And then I'm like, they're like, now you have to move. Like, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna go into shock. Or so I start running, and I was like, what the hell did I just sign up for?
And that was the best part of the race. That's the
what? And then the other part that was awesome was they have these electrical setups where it's like a canopy of exposed electrical wiring.
Uh-huh.
And right before you go into it, they mist you with water. So you're nice and moist and conductive. All this electricity, and it's pretty funny to watch after you go through, because you see all these people eat it and then completely pass out unconscious into the mud face first, and then they revive and they get up. It's pretty funny.
Whoa. But, so people just dropping like flies, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is crazy. And how close did you come to passing out? Did you ever get really close? Aside from the...
Actually, no. Like the last... I got through, and I just got a... Because some of the wires have different voltages. And so I went through and it was just a couple of stings here and there. But that last wire that caught my calf as I was leaving that little electrical field pretty much jump-started my whole body. And I just, you know, like...
You literally...
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't fall, though. I didn't fall, so...
That is crazy. So what does it feel like at the end to have accomplished something like that? Because I will never know.
I think there's a great sense of hunger. I was really hungry.
I thought you were going to say pride, accomplishment.
No, I was really, really proud of myself. It kind of seems like something that's impossible in your head, and then you kind of just go and do it. And I wasn't looking to win, because if I wanted to, let's be honest, I could, you know, like take everyone out one by one.
Obviously. You're brown.
Yeah.
And you're a Raiders fan.
And I'm used to, like, you know, running from the police, so, you know.
Again, brown with a Raiders hat. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really proud of, even today, I'm really proud of myself that I did it. No, I'll never, ever do it again.
It's
but.
True, because I see you post all these pictures of all these runs that you do.
Yeah.
On Facebook, and it's awesome, because I think you and my wife have kind of got that bug. You guys have that in common, where... She just told us earlier, my wife was telling us earlier, she ran her first 5K like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did a couple 5Ks, and the next thing you know, she signed up for the Spartan Race.
Yeah.
And now she's like, I can never go back to just running a regular race. Whereas I am, if I have to run out to my car, which is parked back here, I'm just like, oh God, bad. And that's my exercise for like the month. You know, it's like, well, I ran to my car that day. It was raining.
Yeah.
So, but no, that is amazing. And it's really cool because now do you feel like you've already achieved the pinnacle in running the Tough Mudder? You feel like you don't need to do it again?
Well, I don't really want to do it again.
Yeah.
But I probably will because she's right. It's like it's an addiction now.
Mm-hmm.
And I love signing up for these races. I don't like doing it unless there's like a 7-foot wall that you have to scale, mm-hmm. or like, you know, deep in the mud or throwing color at each other.
I saw the pictures of that.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's an adrenaline high, I think. So
now let me ask you this now, this is going to lead to my next point because you are a student of Krav Maga, which
yes.
I have been fascinated with for years and years and years. And, of course, you know, I've never signed up. I actually looked into taking Krav Maga years ago. And at the time, the only place where you could get it in Southern California was like some studio on like the West Side. And this mm-hmm. guy was like teaching celebrities and it was like
yeah.
a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I guess now it's more, you go in, you're in down at Huntington Beach, right?
I'm in Huntington Beach, yeah.
Okay, so were you doing Krav Maga already before you started running these races?
Well, I think I told you a little bit earlier, like one of a co-worker of ours, mm-hmm. Marilyn, got me to do my first 10K.
Okay.
And I survived that being sick and like never having run before. I'm flat-footed, so like
you
running.
And me, I am too.
Yeah. And I have asthma. I'm like the worst candidate to any races.
But dude, you just like embrace it. And every
yeah.
time I talk to you, when you come from Krav Maga, you're all pumped up about it. So I want to really get into, let's talk about like
yeah.
the, so you were doing Krav Maga, but uh-huh. you hadn't run.
Well, I did the races first and that kind of led me into doing Krav.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I actually got into Krav was my cousin, Sanjay. He had looked into it himself and started doing, he had been doing it for a couple months before I started. And one weekend we were in San Diego and I had told him that Friday before that I was leaving work. It was like 6 p.m. It was dark. And there was this huge guy had approached me in the parking lot. He's like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Can I smell your perfume? Like, what kind of perfume are you wearing?
Whoa.
It was kind of like, and I was thinking in my mind, like nothing happened. I was able to just leave and, you know, thankfully,
mm-hmm.
but I was in my mind, I'm like, what would I do? Like
yeah.
it honestly, in that situation, could I do anything to protect myself? And I had mentioned to him and we were standing in line at SeaWorld and he was like, hey, let me show you something. He likes to do this a lot. Let me show you something. And he just like put his hand on my back and like kneed me in the face. Like he's supposed to do it slow to show me the motion,
mm-hmm.
and he ends up hitting me every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he was like, yeah, you gotta come and check this out. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll come. So,
and that was it.
And that was it. And
now for those of you who don't know, Krav Maga is a fighting style that was, it actually came out of the Jewish ghettos in the 1930s. And it was just, I forgot the name of the founder, but it was basically a way for people to protect themselves from like the Nazi thugs that were going around and beating up the Jews. So anything anti-Nazi, I'm already on board. Awesome. I'm going to take down Nazi thugs with this. But it's basically a street fighting style. It's basically using anything at your disposal, you know, to bring down your opponent, you know.
Right.
And it's so like, take us through a typical, like what level are, now there's not, there are belts, but it's
mm-hmm.
not like in Kung Fu where it takes like, you know, 20 years to get a black belt or whatever, or it's
yeah.
it's a little bit different than other martial arts. Could you explain how that?
Yeah, it's a non-competitive form of martial arts. And like you said, this is developed for their army as well. So it's, you know, they have men, women, you know,
is this Israeli army. Yeah.
Yes. And, so everybody's got to learn how to do this. And it's pretty much, you know, it takes a little bit of everything, a little bit of, you know, boxing and Muay Thai and, you know, jiu-jitsu and grappling and wrestling. And it puts it into practical scenarios. Like, I don't know any other martial arts that trains you to learn how to defend yourself in a car,
mm-hmm.
or when you've got a gun to your head, or in a hostage situation, or in a plane. Like, they literally will do field trips where you go to a little airplane hangar and
oh my god, are you
teach
serious?
You how to fight on a plane. And
I gotta get into this.
And it's like, what do you do when someone's trying to carjack you and you got your kid in the car?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you know, when there's other people in the situation? It's not just yourself. You can't just hand over the car or your wallet. You know, you have something at stake. So it kind of really teaches you what to do in that situation. Now, in the actual situation, will I just cry and pee my pants and run away? That might happen.
Yeah.
All that training might go out the window, but sure. I'm more prepared, you know?
Yeah. At least you have, I was just reading a book about handling stress, and, you know, it talked about how, you know, you have the different, you know, the layers of your brain where you have the brain that, you know, goes far back into the mists of time. It's like, you know, it's like the prehistoric brain, and that's really what's in charge in like a situation like where it's fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, your other brain, you know, your more modern brain will tell you, okay, you're going to reason things out. So hopefully you'll be able to plug it in, because it's like, okay, I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
But now you have this, now you have the tools at your disposal.
Yeah.
So that you're not just like running in there blind and like getting knocked out or shot or yeah. knifed or something. Because I've seen some of the training, and it looks really brutal. And you told me, I asked you last time we hung out, I said, how was Krav Maga? And you said, oh, it was great. We pulled out the shock knives.
Oh, yeah.
So tell people what the shock knives are.
Okay, they're these, when we train, we have like these, you know, they're not real weapons. They're obviously, you wouldn't want to train with a real loaded gun. Or we have, you know, training guns and training knives. They're all rubber and, you know, and we have regular training knives that are rubber. And so we'll start working with those just to get the defense. Like if someone's stabbing you overhand, underhand, mm-hmm. from the side, you know, we work all of those defenses. And then if the instructor sees we're not making the defense, you know, with a sense of urgency, they will pull out the shock knife.
And so this gives you actually an electrical charge.
Yeah. The sound alone, it sounds like a taser. So the sound alone is like psychologically damaging, you know. I think I'm more scared of the sound than I am of actually, because, I mean, it burns a little when you get hit by it. And I have to tell you, we did a gun defense with a ram gun that had the little airsoft pellets.
Oh,
my heart never had beat that fast in its life, you know?
That's because you didn't grow up with me and my cousins shooting yeah. each other with pellet guns, like from right here. It's like, look.
Yeah. So, they try to set up the situations. Like usually when, the first part of the class is usually technique. We work on the technique, and they'll be like, this is the punch, this is the defense. And then you do it. And then at the end of the class, they like to turn off all the lights. They like to make you spin around in circles. They like to blast like, you know, metal music. Completely disorient you. I've had times where I've had lemon juice sprayed in my eyes before I start doing the defenses.
Wow.
I pay for this. I pay monthly for this.
I could spray lemon juice in your eyes for free.
Yeah. So you open your eyes and you have this threat that you have to deal with right away, and you'd be surprised. So in a lot of ways, when God willing, that never happens. But if I was ever in that situation, I think I'd be more, you know, more muscle memory.
Mm-hmm. Just be able to kick in. And so I'm going to hang out with you all the time. No wonder you're a Raiders fan. You're not afraid. Because I'm looking at, for the people, for our friends who have never seen Nina. Nina's tiny. You're not a big girl. How tall are you, Nina?
I'm 5'4".
Yeah, you're not. A tall,
on a good day.
Yeah.
I'm actually 5'3" and a quarter, but I like to say I'm 5'4".
Hey, bump it up, round up.
Yeah.
But, you're tiny, but after you've told me all of this, I would not want to mess with you.
I think the one thing that it has taught me is never judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, you don't know.
The master of our studio, if you looked at him, you would be like, I could take this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no big deal, you know, and he could obliterate anyone within a blink of an eye. Like, he's got the quick hands, you know?
So would you recommend Krav Maga? Who would you recommend Krav Maga to?
I would first recommend it to all my girls, all of them, kids. I think it's good for everybody, honestly, because we've got, if you come to my studio, they have everyone from different age ranges, like my 5-year-old niece is doing it. And then you've got people in their like 60s, 70s, you know, like doing it. It's not the prettiest martial arts.
No, but it's effective.
It's effective. So definitely women, I think, just being a woman myself. And I have a little bit more confidence. I mean, not that I wouldn't be scared in certain situations, but just having the tools to be able to defend yourself. Sure. Yeah.
What, do you want to give your studio a shout out? You can do that to Beach all Cities, three of the listeners that we have.
Beach Cities Krav Maga. It's off of Beach Boulevard, right next to the beach.
When are you going to be an instructor?
I don't know if they'd ever let me be.
What level are you on?
I'm on my orange belt training for my green belt. So in about 3 months, I'll test for my green belt.
So what are the belts? What's the lowest?
Lowest white belt.
And then?
You just get that.
It's automatic. Just, it's like walking in the door.
I was born, so I get a white belt.
White belt. All right, sweet. I'm going to tell people I'm a white belt in Krav Maga.
Should.
I told you my version of Krav Maga. Krav Maga it's Krav Maga. You just have to yell Krav Maga, like if you're punching somebody in the throat. It's like, Krav Maga! And then, or like, you know, kicking somebody, Krav Maga! So, like, I feel like I think I should go up from the white belt.
Yeah, you should.
I'm a white belt in Krav Maga. Congratulations, listeners. Your white belt in Krav Maga. You're welcome. Awesome. And now, how long have you been practicing Krav Maga now? How long has it been?
It's been a year and a half now.
And how often do you train?
I go anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week. It depends.
Holy
cow. Like, five is like a, like, I'm like, geez, I need to get on this. But ideally, like at least 3 to 4 times a week, I'll try to go. I go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday.
I know. I'm interrupting your class today. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm missing fight class. Fight class is the best class.
You can fight my dog.
I'm scared of your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You should be looking at him. He's terrifying.
He's a beast.
Look at him.
Look at that snarl. He's just staring at us.
Like, what? So you gave your studio a shout out. Is there anything else you want to add about Krav Maga, or anything else you think that people should know before they sign up? Here's a good question. Like, what shape do you need to be in physically?
Honestly, to start?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think you should just go in no matter what. Because you're going to have to develop that sometime. Because the stuff that they do, it's not like they'll make you carry people and,
So you're going to get in shape no matter what.
You're going to get in shape. You might throw up the first couple times you go to class. I have yet to throw up in a class, but I've been very close. And I've seen people throw up. And you should come. You should sign up tomorrow.
You're making it sound, I'm not kidding. I've always wanted to go. I do want to go to a class with you and check it out.
But you know, it's like once you start, I've just said like everything that you told me not to say.
Like, you know.
Yeah. You know, okay. You know, like,
you know, but you also said Babu, which I wrote down and
it's Babu. Okay.
Is it Babu? Is that it? We're going to talk about your Indianness in a second, but okay. I want to finish Krav.
Okay. Yeah. What were we talking about?
I said, I want to go to a class with you and you were saying you have to throw up
the level. Yeah. Yeah. So, you have to start from somewhere and I think a lot of people are like, well, I got to work out to get in shape to do this. Mm-hmm. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. You'll be really surprised at what your body can do. I think that's the biggest thing for me is that's why I've been doing all of these races and all of these, activities is because I've been really surprised and shocked what my body is capable of. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I've never done sports in my life. I took marching band to get out of PE. Like, I've never been physically active, you know?
That is my favorite thing you've ever said.
I literally would, you know, I would go to the gym and I would sit on the elliptical for like 20 minutes and barely glisten and be like, oh, that was a tough workout. And now I'm like carrying people over my shoulder, getting stabbed with knives and shot with guns. Oh, I got shot in the arm like 2 weeks ago.
Is that, you posted a picture, right? Your bruise?
Was my cousin. He got shot right in the chest. And that left a mark.
See, now you have no fear.
Yeah.
I'll give you my martial arts.
No, there's fear. Trust me.
My martial arts training is that I've seen every Jackie Chan movie ever made. And if there's ever a fight, I'm just going to run up a wall.
Okay.
And then the whole time people are trying to punch me, I'm going to be like, please listen to me. That's Jackie Chan's.
Do not ever touch a black man's radio.
That's my martial arts. Please listen to me. He's always trying not to fight. You're the only person I know that takes Krav Maga, and I always pick your brain every time we talk about it, because it fascinates me.
Yeah.
That it's just such a grueling. So, like, for you, like, Tough Mudder, that's just like a, that's like an extended Krav Maga class for you.
They're different. I think, kind of.
How long is a typical class for Krav Maga?
Krav is like an hour. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll stay for two classes. Because the fight classes are only offered like once or twice a week.
So what are you missing in fight class right now?
Right now, they're probably doing like some grappling. What did we do last week? Last week we worked on our boxing skills. We went a couple rounds with each person in the class.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and it's just what kind of boxing?
What do you mean? What kind?
Is it a style?
You hit people.
You just punch people. Yeah. Just straight up punch.
Yeah, we work on combinations, different combinations, and try and sometimes.
You did two of them together. There's another one. I'm gonna put a little hash mark next to you every time he talks.
Awkward silence. Gather your thoughts.
Wow, your inner monologue is coming out.
Now I forgot what we were talking about.
What kind of fighting are you sparring everyone in the class?
When you go into a fight class, my very first time going into a fight class, everything I had learned from level one, I was like, yeah, I've got a handle on all this level one material. I know how to do all these different techniques, and then you get into the fight class, and you're actually being hit and kicked and punched. And all of that stuff goes out the window and you're like a deer in headlights again.
Wow.
And I'm like getting so frustrated because I'm like, none of these techniques are working. And so you kind of, they work, but you have to learn how to fight smart.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look for your openings and you have to work on your footwork and,
It's funny you said that because did you see the Robert Downey Jr. version of Sherlock Holmes? Did you see that at all?
No.
In the Sherlock Holmes books, they mention that he's like, because people always think of Sherlock Holmes as like this brain, like this guy who just sits there and solves problems. And in the book, he's very physical, and it talks about how he had been a boxer, and he knew like martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very little of it. And there's a couple of stories where he like actually like takes on some opponents or whatever. But in the Robert Downey Jr. version, they do this really great stuff where he like breaks down his opponent like Sherlock Holmes would. Like, mm-hmm. He notices all the flaws and like sees all these openings, and he's able to use like his physical prowess to like overcome by fighting smart.
Mm-hmm.
And like you should watch it because it like totally like will do the thing in like where they're fighting in real time. And then all of a sudden it'll like flash to him and it'll show like, I'm going to hit him here and this is what it's going to do. And then I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But like, I imagine that that's what you would need to do, but it's hard when you're getting punched in the face or stabbed.
Yeah. Well, in fight class, there's no stabbing.
The shock knife.
Yeah.
No, you don't get that. So that's different class. What class is
that? That's just like the level one, level two. That's just learning how to defend yourself. This is more sparring,
What's the highest? So you're level two. What's the highest level?
No, I'm level three.
You're level three, see?
You just brought me down a level.
I just disrespected you. First of all, we all know you're working toward the brown belt, obviously. That's the belt to get.
I want a belt that you can't see when I put on,
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So you said it's going to be in about 3 months. You're going to train for the green.
Yeah.
So numerically, what level is that?
That is level four.
And then, so what's the highest level numerically?
It's black, but I mean,
Is that like an 11?
No, that's. Let's see. There's white. There's yellow. There's orange. There's green. And then I think it's blue. Then it's brown. Then black. But black. Each one has like levels within them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
So
there's like
I'm not quite sure. It's super secretive. They don't tell you anything. No.
it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like the Masons, except you get punched in the face. Do you have a hard time now when you're like, say you're in a fighting class? Do you have a hard time hitting somebody, or is it easy now?
No, I think it wasn't so hard for me to hit someone because I have all this inner rage,
Brown rage, we
brown
all have
rage.
it.
I grew up with all boys, so I was very used to being roughed up, but it was taking a punch that was the hardest for me to learn.
I have a there's this really great story where like I'm the kind of person, I'm the most mellow person in the world, but what I hate is any kind of horseplay where like guys come up and like slap you or hit you or like, oh, I'm gonna slap you in the like just slap you on the arm or slap you in the privates or whatever, or just walk up and like Charlie horse you. I get like rage. Like
Yeah.
I just see, I get like blind rage where I just wanna like, and it's the same thing. It comes from, I grew up in a big family. My brothers were older. I had a lot of older cousins, and I was number in those of us at the end of my, like I have 27 cousins and I'm number 25. So those of us at the end, I mean, we're subject to even,
Me too.
are you number 25?
Yeah.
High five.
I got a big
High five.
family.
So we, you get, even the girls would beat us up. You know what I mean? Like they would beat up on us. So now I think when I get that way, I get like rage, but it's so ineffective because I just have no way to channel the rage. So I just end up getting really like, And I get it from my dad because my uncle liked to tell a story that they were, my uncle was boxing with my dad, and they had like the, they were just kind of fooling around with like boxing gloves. And this is like my dad must have been like a teenager, so my uncle was like a little, it was my mom's brother, but my dad was their neighbor. And my uncle said he got a lucky punch on my dad. My dad must have been like 12 or 13. And he said like my dad's face, just like the countenance changed, and my dad just like came after him, like just pummeled my uncle. I was like a little kid, And it's like, oh, I get, it's inherited. The rage is inherited, but it's like that blind rage. And I think that, like, I'm always afraid that, but I think if we were in a class, obviously you're getting hit, you're expecting it. I mean,
Not
you're not
always,
expecting it, but like, it's like, okay, this is what we're gonna do today. We're gonna train, and I know I'm gonna get hit. And it's not just like I'm standing there at work and somebody walks up and just smacks my, you know what I mean? So do you have trouble channeling like that, or do you use it? Is that what you use to like power you through the sessions, that rage?
Well, that's the one thing that they talk about a lot is the aggression. That aggression has to be there because we're not like trying to do these Jackie Chan moves. So we're fighting for our lives. The scenario that you would actually use this in would be to save your life. So that aggression has to be there. So when we train, they try and get you to channel that. And we call it the Krav spirit. So it's something that's not that difficult for me. Surprisingly, I never knew that I had this. Honestly, for me, it's a little bit like therapy.
I was just gonna ask, it's gotta be like cathartic for you because you get it
To...
all. Whatever's built up during the week, you're just like,
Yeah.
wow, let it all
You
out.
that's I mean, where else can you go and just wail on someone, you know?
And not get
And
in trouble.
definitely. And I think that's something that's for some reason I have no problem doing that.
What's the worst injury you've had doing
Oh,
Karmaga?
I've had a shoulder injury. I was out for Krav for like 2 months. We were trying these they're called forward rolls, and you basically you run and you jump and you tuck your shoulder into your chest and you roll over your shoulder and you pop back up. And the more advanced you do it, then they'll stack a couple pads and then you have to jump and roll into it. And then once you master the forward roll, you have to do the backwards roll where you do it go in the other direction, and basically teaching you how to fall or how to, you know. And the very first time I attempted it, I didn't tuck my shoulder and I landed right on my neck. And I was in a lot of pain for about a month, and I tried to stay out of Krav for a while, let it rest, because That's the one thing they're always like, if you have an injury, like, don't overwork it and you need to rest and let it heal. So I have a lot of issues with my shoulders sometimes, like tightness, but I'll get it worked out. And I know when I'm working it out too much, I'll give it a break.
You need to find yourself a 25-year-old kinesiology major from Cal State
I do.
Fullerton.
I do.
Sports medicine. Go to an Angels game. They're all the stand is littered with them and bros from the Inland Empire. I was going to tell you a story about my friend Eric. He just reminded me. He was a black belt in Kung Fu, and I asked him if he ever had to use Kung Fu in real life. He said one time he was running through the grocery through the parking lot of a grocery store, and he had a shopping bag with him, and he tripped over something, and he did the shoulder roll, and was able to shoulder roll and keep running. And he said he didn't. He said that's the only time I ever used Kung Fu in real life. So hopefully, all this training will be just that, like good workout and exercise, and you will never, God forbid, have to use that in a real life situation. But it sounds awesome. And it does. See, I like the therapeutic aspect of it. Because I feel like I could just go wail on somebody for a while. But then, of course, I have to take my turn getting beat down too. So.
Well, I mean, if any of your listeners are interested, they go to the studio or find a studio.
Do they have a website
called,
too?
Yeah, I think it's beachcitieskravmaga.com.
Okay.
And if you. If you try out any studio, usually they'll let you do a class for free, so you can check it out, do some research, find out about the instructors. It's great for kids. Kids, I think that's something. When I have kids, they're
Yeah,
good.
I've thought about taking my daughter just to give her something to,
Yeah.
because my daughter, but my daughter's the least aggressive person on the face of the earth.
You know what? My niece is in it, and she, you should see her from when she started and when and now. And she's a little fighter now, you know. So it's it. I don't think you don't have to be those things to start. You really don't have to. You'll learn those things on the way. But especially for the ladies, my studio does every couple of months they do a women's self-defense seminar, and you don't have to be a member of the studio. It's just $20, and they teach you how to defend yourself. Basically, I've heard stories where like I've heard stories where like a lady was supposed to go and then she ended up not being able to go and she got attacked. And that $20, that time spent could have saved her
Sure.
life. And then I've heard stories where one lady had gone and then she did get attacked and she was able to save herself.
Do you have, there's one of those upcoming? Is there one of the, do you know of
Not that
any?
I know of, but I will let you know.
Let me know and I will post it to, I got to do a Facebook page for the show. That's my lazy. I got to start
Yeah.
doing that because I got to have all this stuff. Then I can link to places, but I will put it on my show page on Podbean, and
Yeah.
I can link to that. All right, so that ends the Krav Maga portion. But thanks a lot, because
Yeah.
I think a
What
lot of.
could I add something?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yeah,
Sorry,
okay.
time's up.
Yeah, no, for the ladies especially, because I mean, think about it. If they're like that situation I was in when I first started, like if it was a guy two times my size, what are you gonna do? You know, you
What
got
would you do now? Now,
now?
let's
Okay.
revisit that situation. So, unless he says, hey, what does your perfume smell like, or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, I mean, obviously, you're still scared. You're still in the same
Yeah.
mindset.
Should that situation have escalated where, you know, he comes after you, like, Sorry. There should be like a buzzer here
That's right.
every
Every time I.
time. Or it should be set up to like some electrical system.
A shock knife. I just pull out the
Yes.
shock knife and zzz, I need to do it to myself.
Well, I would now a guy that size, like strength-wise, I can't compete with him, you know? So you have to go after
The
the
soft
sense, the
spots.
soft spots. Am I allowed to say?
Yeah, you can say.
Yeah, okay. The signature move in Krav Maga is the kick to the balls.
Perfect.
And the target is the head. So when you're kicking the guy, you're aiming for his head. So you're trying to kick through him.
Kick through him.
Yeah.
I just learned everything I need to know about Krav Maga.
Yeah.
Wow. So now you just go straight for that.
There's the throat. You grab on the throat. There's a little soft spot here under the throat that you can just. It's as if you're looking for your keys. You dropped your keys and you just shoved your fingers right
Whoa.
here, and it doesn't matter how big or strong you are, you will drop to the floor. The eyes, they bring out like they slice up oranges, and they make you practice gouging eyes.
Whoa.
The nose right here. If if you just put just a little bit of pressure, most people are sensitive right under the nose, right under the, is this the?
The bridge, or not the bridge, but the, I forgot what this is called. Yeah. The little, the
separator.
No, what the heck is this called? The little part under your, on your lip, under your nose.
You just need just a little bit of pressure to, like, if I put my hand right here and you tried to walk forward, you wouldn't be able to.
I'm going to start doing that to people at work.
Yeah.
What the? That's awesome. Yeah. So now any one of those techniques, and then obviously you want to get away from this person.
They call it run maga. Get a good pair of shoes and just run.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
It's my fighting style.
Yeah.
One, you know, it's funny. One, there was a show that only lasted a season. It was on Discovery Channel. It was called Fight Quest.
Yes, I've seen that.
You've seen that. Yeah. And they do, the premise of the show was they took two guys, and the two Americans, and one was an MMA fighter and one was like an army veteran, and they would make them, they traveled the world and they had to learn one martial art, like the basics of a martial art in like a week. Mm-hmm. And they went like kung fu, and I'm saying it, you already know, you've seen it, but I'm saying it for listeners. It was like kung fu, muay thai, they did like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, karate, but they did Krav Maga, and that was by far the most brutal. And because one guy went with a civilian trainer and one guy went with the trainer in the army, the Israeli army, the civilian trainer was much worse than the, but I mean, that's a culture that they are basically, I mean, they're surrounded by their enemies. So it's like,
that's survival. That's true survival.
Life and day. Yeah. The life and death. And that's like, that's the way they had to fight, you know, and they had to, I just remember the one where they had the guy run through like that. They were at like a date plantation and he had to run through the.
Oh, I thought you said he took a girl on a date. That's a terrible date.
They were on like a date plantation and they had all these guys just popping out of the trees to try to attack him.
Yeah.
And he was an MMA guy. So his instinct was to bring him to the ground. And the lady was like, no, do not get on the ground in this situation. They'll kill you. You have to keep running.
Yeah.
Keep running. Keep fighting. Use the palm fronds. Yeah. Use whatever you have to just keep.
Yeah.
And it took him a while, but he finally like made it through. But it was like awesome because she was like, you have to run, you have to keep, but you'll die if you stop moving.
That's exactly the premise. We do drills like that all the time where you'll lay on the ground and you'll have 8 or 9 people pile on top of you with these large ticking shields. And then when the instructor says go and the music's blasting and the lights are off, when the instructor says go, you have to fight your way out. And they make it difficult, but not impossible. And so your adrenaline is just pumping and you cannot stop. Like, if you stop, you lose that momentum, and you won't be able to get out from under those pads. So they really condition you to keep going.
That's crazy. It makes me terrified, but it also makes me want to try it at the same time. Like, but, see, now I'm doing the ums and the ahs. I have one more thing to add, and I can't remember. But definitely, I will try to find the link to the, I'm going to write it down. Link, or you can send it to me and I'll post it on the page so you guys can check it out, because obviously
it'll change your life. It changed my life.
It sounds amazing. Yeah. And I would not want to mess with you. I mean, I would. I could probably
give me your lunch money.
Okay, it's right there. It's all there piled up in the thing, in the bowl. Okay, so Nina, I asked you, we have a new little segment, I forgot what I was going to call it. I had a really clever title this morning and I forgot what it was. But what I'd like to start doing is having my guests come in. Now that you know a little bit about Nina and you know where she's, what she's about, I wanted to give you a few recommendations on stuff that she's into. Obviously, I think I know what number 5 is going to be. I think I'm going to see if I can. What I'd like for Nina to do is I've given her a list of things to recommend. So these are little...
is the part where you can kind of tune out.
Why? So I'm asking for 5 recommendations of my guests, and I'm sending out a list whenever they decide to come on. And the first one I said was, do you have any movies or TV shows that you're into or something that you think our fan base would like? Now, remember, it doesn't, I mean, we're kind of geeks, but, you know, listen, I mean, I'm a pretty cool geek, you know what I'm saying? So do you have anything you'd like to recommend? Anything that you're really, don't be embarrassed.
Okay.
I'm going to hate whatever you, I'm a hater.
Okay.
So I'm going to make fun of it.
Well, a couple of TV shows. I mean, this one's old. It's been dead and gone for a while, is Lost. I loved Lost when it was on.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because now spoiler alert, but what did you think about it? Because I was really into the show.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of the ending?
I hated it.
Yeah, because you know why? Okay, another spoiler alert. The whole time they kept telling us, they're not dead. Like, yeah. they will not be dead. And then they were dead.
Yeah. I think they took, like, an amazing show and just ruined it.
At the very end.
At the very end. Then there was all these theories going around. Some of them were really cool. And I just, like, I didn't like that ending.
You know what sucked? Was that last season, they were doing a lot of stuff with, like, time travel. Where they had the bomb and they took it back. That was awesome. Yeah. Like, that show. And I was like, these guys have basically taken, like, a sci-fi show and made it mainstream. And people who would never talk about a sci-fi show were talking about Lost. Everybody loved that show. I remember my wife, because she had watched the first couple episodes. She's like, yeah, it's weird. It's like there's these numbers and there's this lady that's speaking in French and there's a polar bear. And I'm like, what? I got to see this show. And luckily, when it first came out, they like re-ran a bunch of the episodes like pretty early on, like a month or two into it, to like get people caught up because it was such a phenomenon. And I was so on board with that show. And it was the same thing. The ending just kind of left me. But how do you end something like that? That's hard. Like, I know a lot of people take J.J. Abrams to task for that. But how do you, like, what?
There's, honestly, I don't know if there's an ending that could really appease any of the true fans.
Yeah, like, what would have, you know, you're not going to please everybody. But what were you expecting?
I have no idea. It just, what I loved about the show is how everything tied in together in some way or another. And it really made you, like, because you're looking at it from this small perspective, and then every so often they pull back and you see all the connections and all of the relationships and all of how all these numbers and all of these things work in, and you're just kind of, like, blown away. I personally don't know how I would have wanted the show to end. That's the thing, is it was so good.
I will say, ending aside, if you have not watched Lost, it's on Netflix. Go back and watch it. It is a well-done show.
Yeah.
I
only started watching at, like, season four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started at season one when they were on season four, and I think I watched four seasons within, like, a week.
Yeah. It's, you know, that pilot episode that's one of the best pilots I've ever seen, 'cause it just grabs you right into the show. Yeah. It is definitely worth checking out. If you've never seen it, it's not too late to check it out. You will be disappointed with the ending. So I hope you skip past the spoiler alerts. They're all dead. watch it anyway, because there's still a lot of stuff that goes on that's... I think it's still some of the best stuff I've ever seen on a mainstream television show.
Yeah.
That wasn't on like a cable channel or something.
Right.
So that is a great recommendation, because, you know, I feel like I need to go back and revisit it, because I haven't watched it in forever.
Yeah.
And I was just watching the last Mission Impossible movie, and Sawyer's in it for like 5 minutes. I don't know if you've seen it. He's in it like right in the beginning, but he's in it for a second. I was like, oh, Sawyer. And I forgot. That's a great character.
Yeah.
That's like one of the all-time great TV
characters. It's one of those shows where when you see the characters on other things, like, you're like, you can't get that character out of your head. So you're like, it's weird that he's doing this, you know?
Yeah. There was a HBO miniseries, Band of Brothers, that came out about 10 years ago. And all the guys from Band of Brothers were kind of unknown. And they still kind of are. They're not, there's no one really breakout stars. But they all turn up on other TV shows.
Yeah.
And like, they're always like the second character. Like a lot of them are on like cop shows or whatever. I'm like, hey, that's so-and-so or so-and-so. Hey, it's Sergeant or, you know. It's really trippy to see like people like that, and you're like, oh, you're always going to be that guy to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess that's why it's hard for people to, when a show, especially like Lost, breaks out, I think that's why you haven't really seen anybody move on.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're forever that character.
I'm still looking for a show that's just like that, and I can't find one.
One that ran concurrently, and it's a little more sci-fi, but you can get it on Netflix. Check it out, Battlestar Galactica. And I know it sounds super nerdy, but
I just tuned out.
It was y'all. Now I only hear dial tone. There was a big debate online at that time, because Battlestar Galactica started a few months ahead of Lost,
really?
And there was actually like a couple of storylines that were very similar.
I thought that was an old show.
Like there was in the '70s, but they redid it starting in like 2005 or anything.
Yeah.
And it only ran for like five seasons. It's like five, but it's awesome. It's really, really good. Because like, it basically took everything that America was like freaking out about during the George Bush administration, like, you know, like torture and like terrorism and like how much power do we have?
Isn't this set in space?
It's set in space. It's awesome because the whole idea, do you know the story of?
No, like, I have no idea.
They didn't change the story at all from the 70s. Humanity comes under attack. They build this race of robots, and the robots revolt, and they basically wipe out humanity out. So what's left of humanity now is gone, and they're trying to survive in space, but they're being pursued by their enemies. So they're like, it's basically like what humanity would do to survive. But it's all this stuff happens because you have a civilian government that's trying to coexist with like a military government because the military is basically protecting everybody because mm-hmm. it's this fleet of ships. Check it out. I'm not kidding. If you like Lost, okay. You're looking at me
okay.
weird.
Yeah.
Watch the pilot.
I don't know. Like,
watch the pilot.
Shows and movies set in space, like The War of the Stars or the whatever. I'm not quite there.
Girls always just eyes glaze over. It's so funny. Who do I get to try to watch Battlestar Galactica?
Is it kind of like Legally Blonde?
It is exactly like Legally Blonde, just on a spaceship.
I will check that out.
What did you... When we went to see The Avengers, what were you calling it?
Okay. You know, I grew up with boys, so I'm used to seeing all of these things, but I never paid attention because I never really had, like... I like action movies, but, like, when it comes to comic books and space, mm-hmm. I kind of get lost. And... Yeah, Lost. Same. Yeah, tying nice. It all back.
Nice.
That's a free plug for mm-hmm. the show, now that it's over.
Callback, yeah.
And I think that it was just, I forgot what I was talking about.
Stuff like that is lost on you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you were calling it The Avengers, you're like, I can't wait to go see that movie with...
Oh, it was like Green Guy, Katniss.
Katniss. My favorite
like Iron Metal Man.
My favorite was America Guy.
America Guy.
That was my favorite.
And you know how long it took me to realize that guy was the Hulk? Like, I had no idea.
Oh, we were Banner? Watching,
yeah,
Dr. Banner?
Yeah, I had no... I'm like, why is this guy in the movie? He's like, he's just a scientist. Like, what does he have to offer, you know?
Superpower? What's he bringing to the table?
Oh, my favorite was the guy with the arrows. The Katniss guy. Because when you run out of arrows, what are you going to do? That's his superhero. He's his power, right?
My wife hates that character.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, there's the DC equivalent of Hawkeye is the Green Arrow, who was first, I think, in the comic book realm. He's got a show right now that's just called Arrow on the CW.
I've seen that on Hulu.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
I hear it's great, but I haven't seen it. You know what sucks about Hulu now, Nina?
What's that?
It only goes back like 5 episodes on some new shows. What happened?
I have no idea. They want you to pay for it. That's what happened.
I paid for it. I have a paid service. And it only goes back like 5 episodes. Canceling
it. Stick to Netflix.
Yeah. I like Netflix. Yeah. Now, you said you weren't going to recommend a book or a magazine, which is number 2.
Because I don't read. If someone can teach me to read...
Well, you're brown. We don't read.
Yeah, we don't need to. I like recognize symbols, mm-hmm. you know?
Sanskrit and whatnot.
Yeah. No, I'm not an avid... this sounds terrible. I'm not an avid reader.
Doesn't sound terrible.
Yeah.
I used to read... My daughter is a voracious reader.
I've noticed that. DJ Sadness.
Yeah, she'll read 3 or 4 books, like, a week. Not even joking. As I've gotten older, my casual reading has diminished quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because now I'm so used to just digesting little bits of information from the internet, like... I'll go to this website and read this article. I'll go to that website, you know, and just... So I don't read books as much as I used to. Although now that I have a Kindle Fire, it's kind of helped. But I'm reading... My midlife crisis is comic books. I never used to read comic books. And now that Isabella is collecting them, I started to read them now.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm reading about America Guy and stuff like that.
And Green Guy.
And Katniss. You knew Katniss. That's a reference.
Yeah. I'll plug the Hunger Games. I like that movie.
What about the book?
There's a book?
I haven't seen the Hunger Games movie. Is it good? That girl just won the best supporting actress for...
I don't know. Like, I have the problem where I can't tell if a movie's good or bad. I just know if I like it.
You know what? Yeah. It's all subjective.
Yeah, and I liked it. I like anything where it's about adventure and survival and fighting and...
Battlestar Galactica. You just described Battlestar Galactica.
But it's in space.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you watch it. Okay. I'm not kidding.
All right.
I'm going to talk to you next week. And there's a lot of Krav Maga in it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's the anti-robot defense. Do you have any music or is there a particular artist that you've been listening to a lot lately?
I listen to everything. I think I don't have much music on my phone. I listen to Pandora a lot. I'll let Pandora decide what I'm going
to
listen to.
Let me ask you this. What do you like to listen to when you're working out, when you're at the gym? Or
dubstep.
Dubstep, really?
Yeah.
My
I like angry robot machines. Like, it sounds like what... It sounds like the noises they would be making if they were fighting, you know?
On Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, like it's like a fax machine is really mad at this, you know, this dial-up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just going to be angry. Yeah. That does, if you call my phone, there's a dubstep song that's...
It gets you in the mood to kind of like pump some iron, you know?
That look you gave me was so awesome. Okay, do you have any, the next category is, do you have anything, an app on your phone or on your computer or anything techie that you want to recommend?
The first app that I will recommend because I'm completely obsessed with is Instagram. Instagram my life. I kind of have disowned Facebook. I think Facebook is too much work, too much reading. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like to read. It's basically the Facebook that I enjoy because I like looking at pictures, and now I don't have to read about everything, you know?
Exactly, just the picture. A picture's worth a thousand words,
Nina. It is, and it's fun. It's fun. I document my adventures.
You do. If you do not, can I plug your...
Yes, you can.
If you want to follow Nina on... She does a lot of really great stuff. She's one of my favorite people on Instagram. She is X5 Prototype.
Yes.
Now, what is an X5 Prototype? I've always meant
that
to ask.
It's been my screen name forever. It came from a TV show that didn't last very long. It was called Dark Angel. Jessica Alba was
mm-hmm,
in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, they were in the future and there was like a revolution. And, you know, that was her, like, I don't even remember now. It's been so long. I guess she was like, she wasn't completely human. And so that was her, I guess she was some type of robot.
She was an X5 Prototype.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
And I stuck with that name since then, and it's been my screen name and my username for everything.
Please follow her on Instagram. She does a lot of really cool stuff on there. And
if you like babies and adventure.
You have you have a new...
Oh, can I shout out?
You give me your shout out.
This shout out is to Jada.
Jada is your...
Jada is my niece.
Yeah, I've seen pictures.
And she loves the show, by the way.
Of course she does.
She's been a long-time listener.
First-time caller.
She's been... She just celebrated her one-week birthday on this week.
Happy birthday to Jada. That sounds like a Star Wars name.
Yeah. Her name is Jada Grace.
That's awesome.
Jada Grace. So she's half Indian, half Filipino.
Whoa.
That's great. That's like a whole new breed.
That's some spicy pun set right there. Spicy that, lumpia yeah. is going to be her screen name when she gets
She's
old.
She's my little lumpia. And I guess I should shout out to her dad because he was like...
That's your brother, right?
Give me a shout out, yeah. Well, we're cousins, but, you know, I grew up with... We're so close. He's my big brother.
Yeah, we have the same thing. Our family grew up really... Like I said, big family. We all grew up. My grandfather had a ranch that we all worked on when we were growing up. And so you get that kind of the lines blur because some of my cousins, like my cousin Peter, my cousin John, we grew up, we're all a few years apart, and we grew up, I saw them more than I saw my own brothers because my brothers were already older and were getting married by the time I was, you know, a little kid. So I spent more time with them than I did with my own brothers at the time. I'm really close to my brothers now, but you know, at the time. And so one more shout out, or one more, not shout out, but you have, do you have anything else you want to recommend? Dealer's Choice?
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
I have had the Nike Fuel Band since Christmas, I think.
There you go. You and my wife.
And I absolutely love it. I don't know how accurate it is, but honestly, I don't really care. If you haven't seen the Nike Fuel Band, it is a band that Nike has made. It's kind of like a fancy pedometer,
mm-hmm.
but it measures... It's a watch. So if anything, if you're not exercising, It's a fancy watch, but it has like this little LCD screen, and it gives you a count of your fuel points. The Nike gives assigns points, and then it gives you your calorie, like how many calories you're burning, and then it tells you the time, and what else does it do? It makes you breakfast.
Oh, that would be awesome.
No, it tells you how many steps you've taken.
It only makes how many dub steps I've taken?
How many dub steps you've taken.
That is awesome.
But it syncs with your phone, so there's an app on the phone. And that's the thing that I like about this FuelBand is it has a chart and graph. So it tells you, like, it'll show you from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. Yeah. And you'll see, like, when I'm sleeping, because I don't take it off ever. Like, I even wear it in the shower. So you see how many calories I burn when I'm showering. I've become very obsessed.
Yeah, I can tell. It's okay.
When I get obsessed with things, I get obsessed. And the line is just flat because I'm not moving or punching people. And sometimes I can see when I'm sleepwalking. But
then, do you sleepwalk?
Yeah. When I first got the band, I have a desk job. So I realized how much I'm not moving because the graph was just flat. And it would just spike once a day when I work out, when I train at Croft. And so it's made me more aware. And so every couple of like hours, like maybe an hour and a half, I'll get up and walk around the buildings. And I notice that little amount of activity all throughout the day does add up. And it's helped me in my physical goals. So
just to get a little more active.
Yeah. And then once you sync it with Facebook, you're competing with everyone who has one.
Oh, awesome.
So I can see, like, I'm going to friend your wife, and then I can see her points throughout the day. And my goal is to beat her. So it kind of gets you motivated without actually having an accountability
good
partner.
Good luck, because she's obsessed too.
Yeah.
So good luck with that. Although you have Krav on your side.
Krav Maga.
Yeah, just walk up and Krav Maga right in the face. Okay, Nina, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for everything. I hope, did you have a good time?
I had a decent time.
Yeah, you seem like you're all right. Is there anyone else you want to give a shout out to? Or any other things you want to say in closing?
I got a shout out to,
whoa, my dog has a shout out.
Yeah. Shouted that out.
And then
shout out for Blair, because I know you told her
it was just her birthday.
Happy birthday. I knew that. Happy birthday, Blair. I didn't text or call you because I was waiting till this podcast to kind of make a big deal, because there's a lot of listeners from what I've been told.
At least three.
There's at least three. Now me, when Blair listens, there'll be four.
No, well, you're me, my wife, my daughter, you.
My niece.
Now she's in.
She loves five. It.
So we're up to six with
every time she hears you, she spits up.
Well, of course.
She does.
I have that effect on women. I really do. Look, I'm giving a big at the end. Yeah, that is going to wrap it up. Nina, you've been awesome. Thank you so much. I know you were nervous.
Thank you.
But
I threw up a couple times.
You did great. And Nina, please follow her on Instagram because she is awesome. Do you have anywhere else that people can follow you? Are you on the Twitter?
I am on the Twitter, but it's the same one, X5 Prototype. But I'm not very
tweet-ish. We didn't even get into what you do for a living, which we will talk about next time.
Yes, that means you have to have me back.
Of course I'm going to have you back. You were an awesome guest, but we will talk about what Nina does next time because we've already gone, we're already over an hour. That's awesome. And
I work for the CIA.
We have to go get lunch, too.
Yes.
I promised Nina a delicious lunch as her fee. So thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Please tune in again. In a couple of in a day or two, I'll be posting the special zombie mini episode with our friend JP. So please listen to that. So for Nina Thomas, my dog Ricky, and everybody else here at Guano Productions, I thank you for listening to Superiority Complex, and I remind you that this transmission ends now.
Smell you later.